Many moms and dads look back wistfully on the child-rearing stage of life. Recalling that season of taking care of little ones stirs up nostalgia, and we love to reminisce about the good old days. But for some parents, the memories also carry a measure of guilt. There were times when we failed our kids. Perhaps it was an ugly encounter, or missing too many concerts or soccer games. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue his series on biblical parenting. In his 12th and final study, Chuck is talking about what to do when you've blown it.
Today we're looking at two Old Testament scriptures. Both of them may be difficult for you to find if you're not familiar with your Bible. One is in the second minor prophet named Joel. Minor prophets begin with Hosea and take you all the way to the end of the Old Testament. There are 12 of them. The second one is Joel. Locate Joel chapter 2. And then after you've done that, find Isaiah chapter 58. We'll be reading them in opposite order. First, we'll read from Isaiah 58 and then from Joel 2. As you have your Bible open, please stand for the reading of the scriptures. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. And your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Joel chapter 2, begin the reading at verse 23. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with the new wine and oil. Then I will make up to you for the years the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the gnawing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. You shall have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Two unusual sections of scripture that we will apply today to parents who have blown it, to those of us who have failed in one way or another in our roles as moms and dads.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called What to Do When You've Blown It.
I remember when I almost drowned. To make matters worse, our younger son almost drowned with me. It was many years ago. Our children were small, and we had just purchased a little tent camper. It's a tent on wheels that allows you to nestle into an area in the woods wherever you wish. You're up off the ground, and you're able to enjoy the fresh air of the outdoors, the beauty of God's nature. It was one of those sites located near an emerald-colored lake that was cold and deep. The mornings were crisp, and on occasion when you took your walk, you could see your breath. Really chilly. As the sun rose, it would warm your back, and during the day, you could enjoy for a while time at the lake. Though it was too cold to swim, the children enjoyed playing there, and as night fell, it was like there were a million nails driven in the sky with silver heads, beautiful stars. Idyllic. Until that day. We had been there about half a week, and I thought while the children were playing, I would sling our youngest on my shoulders, and others call it a piggyback ride. We always called it a daddyback ride. So I was going to give him a daddyback ride and decided we would move over into the water. And I began to wade up to my knees, and I'm holding him at his knees so he doesn't fall off. And I go a little deeper, and finally I'm up to my chest. He's just able to kick his feet in the water. And he says, "More, Daddy, more." And so I'm thinking, well, okay, I've got his legs, and I'll slip down a little further, a little deeper. And I was now up. He wanted to be at his waist, and that meant I'm over my head. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll do a little bounce number here and make it an extra. And he loved it. Kicked his feet, jerked on my glasses, pulled on my ears, hung onto my hair, and oh, it was the greatest thing, until I suddenly realized there was no bottom. There was nothing to bounce up from. We had slipped further down the slick bank, and now we were further out, and I had two seizing realizations. I cannot keep kicking and keep us up, and if I don't kick, we will drown. The family was about 150 yards down the way, and I couldn't have called for help anyway because I was beginning to gag. And when I would go far enough down, he would go under, and he began to cough and cry, and I began to cry. I literally thought, this is it. I can't keep kicking. And I can't stay up. I reached over as far as I could with my foot, and I felt with my toe the root of a tree, small root, that had grown out into the soft mud of that bank area. And I grabbed it as best I could, and I thought, oh, if there were just more, I could get a toehold. And I kicked with my other leg, and sure enough, there were other small little rootlets. And finally, there was enough of a network of roots for me to find footing. And then I got my other leg over, and by now we're walking out, and I'm stumbling onto the shore. And I pull him off my shoulders, and I hugged him and told him how much I loved him. He's by now laughing, and I remember his saying, "Let's do that again, Daddy." Today I speak to you who feel like you are drowning. You're over your head, but you're not in cold water. You're drowning in guilt, shame, self-made blame. The reason I say that is because you have been listening carefully to each message on the family, rearing children, loving them, caring for them, taking time for them, dealing with wrong by disciplining them, showing mercy where necessary, and setting boundaries where that's important. And you have sat there realizing every message you're just getting deeper and deeper. And you may have by now felt like that the depth is bottomless. Not only do I feel like I'm drowning, my own children feel that they are drowning in anger and confusion and disappointment in me, and perhaps even blame. It's hard to live with. And there's this aching void that causes you at times to lose your breath. You have blown it. I thought about this for the last several weeks because I've heard your response. More than any other response, I've heard this from you who are parents, especially you who are moving into the older adult years. If I had only known then what I know now, what do I do now? Those words come from sincere moms and dads who absolutely don't know what to do with their shame. To make matters worse, when holidays come, it's awkward. When the family talks about getting together, you're busy finding excuses why it won't work. Or they're now busy. They have their lives. So what do you do? Is there any hope? Is there any future for parents who have failed? Let me begin with what I have called in the outline some painful realities of being human, okay? Some painful realities of being human. Let's start there. I would even encourage you, if you have a pen, to write some thoughts down. You'll forget them if you don't. If you do, you'll return to them and you'll need them. First, we are all imperfect, including our children. I know you know that, but you need to write that down because you've forgotten that. That's why you feel so shameful and guilty. Your goal, as you think back, was to have been a better parent, but you weren't. You were what you were. You are imperfect. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To paraphrase it, all of us have failed and come short of our responsibilities as parents. That's all of us. Through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all, for all have sinned, as you and me, all of us. All of us who were kids failed. We didn't obey all the time. We didn't do what was right all the time, either with our parents or away from them. We're imperfect. And because we are doing our best as parents to rear our children, being imperfect, knowing that we're dealing with children who are imperfect, it's a no-win deal in many ways. One man put it like this: you're not just trying to raise your child, you've had to take a piece of damaged goods and you're trying to restore it. This is hard to do. So true. It's hard enough to know that you're imperfect, but now you're dealing with a child that is just like you, imperfect. We're all in that category. Back several years ago, one of my favorite writers, Peggy Noonan, in the Wall Street Journal wrote a piece that I have kept. It's a good reminder of this point. She writes, there's a small but telling scene in Ridley Scott's Black Hawk Down that contains some dialogue that reverberates, at least for me. The movie, as you will remember, is about the Battle of the Bakara Market at Mogadishu, Somalia. It's October 1993. In the scene, the actor, Tom Sizemore, playing your basic tough guy U.S. Ranger colonel, is in charge of a small convoy of Humvees trying to make its way back to base under heavy gun and rocket fire. The colonel stops the convoy, takes in some wounded, tears a dead driver out of the driver's seat of a Jeep, and barks at a bleeding sergeant who is standing in shock nearby. Get in the truck and drive, says the colonel. But I'm shot, colonel. To which the colonel responds, everybody's shot. Get in and drive. I say to you who are parents and to all of us who have reared children, we have all been shot. We've all been hit with the shrapnel of depravity. We all have been impatient. We all have lost our temper. We all have rushed to judgment. We all have been too busy. We all have neglected. We've all known the pain of argumentation and disharmony and maybe even some walking out. We've all been shot. Second, doesn't help the first, but it makes it real. We cannot change the past. Oh, I know. I would love to be able to do that, but you can't change the past. Listen to me, it is set in stone. It is set in stone. For you to spend your time retracing those steps and trying to correct them or make them less than they were, wow, what a waste. That's Fantasy Island. Don't waste your time. The past is set. It's done. Without making light of it, we must press on beyond our failures and our mistakes and our sins. Paul writes in Philippians 3:13, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Say those three words with me. I press on. You forget those words, you'll sit there in your guilt and shame, and you will lose vital, vital years beating yourself up. We cannot change the past. And before you think I'm making light of it, here's the third one. We are personally responsible for our own wrongs. We are personally responsible for our own wrongs. You cannot blame someone else. If you do, you're making a very terrible mistake. You did wrong, it was wrong. You are responsible for it. You failed here, you failed here. It is your responsibility. Don't rationalize around it. It will not solve anything for you to rationalize around some failure or excuse it because you were busy or it wasn't the right time or you had tried before or you had other pressing responsibilities. Don't go there. I love the words of the prodigal son when he finally came to his senses. Father, I have sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I have sinned. I've been shot. I've blown it. I don't deserve a place back. Even just put me in the shed with a servant. No. It's another story. But that was the only place he felt he could live, having treated his dad and his brother as he had treated them. The thing I have always appreciated about Alcoholics Anonymous is whenever you introduce yourself to the group, you start with your first name and you add, I am an alcoholic. Let's say your name is Fred. My name is Fred. I am an alcoholic. My name is Shirley. I am an alcoholic. It's very healthy. No addict ever gains sobriety by denying that he or she has the disease. I am this. You sit here today and you listen to these words, and one of the most helpful and healthy things you can do is acknowledge, I have been wrong. I am responsible for my wrongdoing. Now, let's not stay there. Let's get a little hope and future in this. And if you'll turn with me to one of the major prophets named Jeremiah, I want you to mark this verse I'm going to show you, these two verses, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and verse 12. When I first found these verses years and years ago, I remember almost shouting because they gave me such relief. Jeremiah is writing these words under God's direction to a people who have been far, far away from God for years. And I'm sure they thought they were finished. They thought they will never know God as they once did. And Jeremiah 29:11 adds the words from God himself. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Look at that. I know the plans I have for you. You and I don't know them. The Lord does. And they are plans to give us a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's hope in those three verses. I love those verses.
God's future plans for parents are not for calamity or shame. This passage promises there's a better day coming. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll about what to do when you've blown it. Now, please keep listening because Chuck will bring some closing comments in a moment, coming to you from his personal study at home. And if you'd like to learn more about Chuck or this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Now, it's possible you've been intrigued by today's presentation because you're thinking about a relationship with a son or daughter that needs repair. Maybe you're feeling a measure of regret as you think back on the child-rearing years. Well, you'll find a number of helpful resources prepared for you located on our website. But I'll point out one that's especially relevant today. Chuck has written a book on the family called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving, in which he addresses practical topics such as today's, restoring relationships after you've blown it. Whether you're raising young children or you're watching your children raise families of their own, no household should be without this biblical wisdom. Now, our study on the family concludes Wednesday, and this is one of the final times we'll mention Chuck's book on parenting. It's available for purchase when you go to insight.org/offer. And then please remember, anything you can give beyond the book's actual cost will go directly toward providing Chuck's teaching on radio and the internet. And we truly need your partnership right now, as the disruptions caused by the pandemic have impacted charitable giving. Chuck?
The rhythm of my heart revolves around Sunday mornings. For my entire adult life, every day of my week points to the moment I step to the pulpit to deliver God's message. In fact, my heart beats faster just imagining it. I live with a joyful anticipation for the worship service every Sunday morning. Well, because God has wired me this way, breaking that lifelong rhythm of preaching every weekend has definitely cramped my style. Like you, this requirement for self-quarantine at home, while valid and necessary, has become extremely challenging. In my hours of reflection at home, I've been grateful that even while our churches are temporarily closed and empty, The Insight for Living program carries on without an interruption. Isn't that great? Every day, technology allows us to reach into hearts and homes, your heart, your home, without restriction. We have no barriers whatsoever. In fact, the experts are telling us that radio listening habits are on the rise. The reason is people are craving spiritual direction. The only barrier that stands in the way of our daily visits is the financial capacity to continue doing so. You see, our cost for sending out the daily program remains the same. Your voluntary gifts, therefore, have never been more needed than they are right now. Nothing has diminished our commitment to delivering Insight for Living messages. COVID-19 cannot and will not stand in our way. As people around the world stay inside their homes, worried about their jobs, their basic needs, their families, and even their own lives, we will keep right on teaching and reaching them with the hope of Jesus Christ and the practical help of His Word. So please, as God prompts you to give, respond to His leading. Just as you need us by your side each day, we also need you with us, your prayers, and your donations. Thanks for responding today.
And to respond to the need, give a donation online at insight.org. That's insight.org. Or call this number, 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Listen again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues his message for parents titled, What to Do When You've Blown It, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What to Do When You've Blown It, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.